When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.
Wow, Matt. Fellow adventurers, we are back with Sir Croakington, and we shall be going deeper into Wacknar's mad labyrinth, which, as we've learnt and theorised, was actually probably about the best thing he could do considering the circumstances he got, well, mostly thrust upon him, but part of it was his own fault. Wacknar's mad. Step on the engraved stone, down to level 34. Okay, I'm near the southeast corner of the area, and I seem to be on a long, twisty path. Going south a bit now. I'm as south as you can go. A pungent, nauseating odor wafts through the dark passages of this level of the labyrinth. We have a suddenly, the sound of something heavy being dragged along the passage ahead, just beyond the range of your light, holds you in your tracks. You peer into the gloom, straining your eyes against the curtain of shadow to the east, desperately seeking any sign of the source of the unnerving noise. A few tense moments later, the sound fades to silence. You cautiously continue on. Alright, keep going. We have another suddenly. The sound of something heavy. I don't have anything heavy. Heavy handy to be dragged along, so you'll have to imagine the sound yourself. Being dragged along the passage ahead, just beyond the range of your light, holds you in your tracks. Perhaps like that. But, you know, better. You peer into the gloom, straining your eyes against the curtain of shadow to the north, desperately seeking any sign of the source of the unnerving noise. A few tense moments later, the sound fades to silence. You cautiously continue on. Alright, now I'm going west. It's an alcove to the south. Invisible barrier, which forcefully repels me. Perhaps that's the way further down. Perhaps there's more of those blue orbs that turn into blue gems, because they seem to be everywhere. And it's probably one or the other, anyway. Okay, this passage, and along with four others, convenes at a central point. We have a suddenly. Oh, and something heavy being dragged along the ground again. Perhaps we'll see what it is soon enough. Alright, we're going towards the central point. Suddenly, and that it's the same thing again, sound of something heavy being dragged along the passage ahead, just beyond the range of your light, holds you in your tracks. You peer into the gloom, straining your eyes against the curse of shadows to the north, desperately seeking any sign of the source of the unnerving noise. A few tense moments later, the sound fades to silence. You cautiously continue on. Alright, what's in the middle? The instant you step into the chamber at the edge of the passage, a foul, nauseating odour assails your senses. It takes only a split second to realise you're not alone in the cavernous womb. Your watering eyes are immediately drawn to the central chamber, where a dozen massive vines, each as thick as the trunk of a large tree, weave wildly about a leaf-covered, bulbous green orb. With remarkable speed, The plant's tendrils streak out from its core and draw up in front of the three arches that exit the chamber, effectively cutting off several possible routes of escape, but leaving one open. Presumably, this is also part of Ragnar's design. Because, of course, if the plant just, you know, wanted to eat me, which, I mean, some plants do, that just happens. Because, you know, you got to get your protein somewhere. And presumably in Wackner's Mad, there's no sunlight and there's no soil. So you pretty much have to resort to carnivory, you know, to survive if you're a plant. So, now we've got a mean old plant. But it is still presumably under Ragnar's control, so while we're in danger, we're in a planned danger. Only the arch on the west side of the chamber remains unblocked. The plant's tendrils shoot out towards you as the deadly mass of vegetation launches its swift and fierce attack. It's a massive thorned plant, and it's black difficulty. So, which means you have to roll an 18 or higher to do any damage to it. And even if you do damage to it, it will be teeny, teeny. Here, I can use a natural 20. Well, not a natural 20, an unnatural 20. Kill your enemies. The massive tendril leeches out at you. I use a 20, and you only do 10 damage. And that's a 20. Yeah, it's an 18 plus. That the overwhelming amount of times, if you see something that's 18 plus, you're not supposed to fight it yet. I think there are probably maybe 5 or 6 exceptions in the entire game where you can see something that's 18 plus and fighting it is recommended or at least likely to lead to anything positive. But here, run and hope we find out the giant holy weed killer or something, or maybe a huge goat to eat it, or fire would work, lots and lots of fire. I'm going to fight it defensively a bit more. I go battle ways, but that doesn't really help because it's got so much health. We're talking thousands. And I could use the Wand of Dragonfire. That is 113 damage and it only takes it down 1%. So we're probably talking around about 10,000. 10,000 or so health. You can't take it down. I suspect even if you did take it down, the game sort of wouldn't acknowledge it. Because you're not supposed to, and the GM didn't plan for it. But maybe someone has. I mean, we have got Gregor running around. And he's got everything. Every conceivable thing. He's just a giant calamari of loot that just rolls vaguely near enemies and they explode. Anyway, more defenses. Going to see if there's any specials. Doesn't seem to be. Oh, nope. Savage Blow for 9 damage. Oh, that's a pretty typical special, so not that exciting. Anyway, flee. You fled from combat, which I should have done a lot earlier. You dodged the flailing tendrils, the massive plant, as you dash towards the western exit of the chamber. The only exit not currently blocked by the weaving vines. Exactly as, of course, Ragnar told it to. Okay, plant. Hello, plant. Oh, plant. Yep, yep. One of my wizard powers, or mage powers, or whatever, is that I can talk to plants. Or at least I can talk to this plant, which I kind of made. I said, okay, now, look. Venturers are going to come in here. And, yeah, you are super big and powerful, and you could destroy them. Yeah, but the thing is, you block off 3 of the exits. Not 2, not 1, definitely not 0, and most certainly not 4. Because if you block off all 4 exits, I will be angry at you. You hear me? I will be angry at you, and I will spray you that's not how you plant a plant. I'll throw sand at you. Yeah. Yeah, that's how you punish a plant. You throw sand at it. Sand is the opposite of water. And if plants like water, they must hate sand. And plants are the opposite of cats. In some ways. Because, you know, they stay still and cats move around a lot. Cats are carnivores and plants usually make their own food. And plants are green. And cats are all sorts of fun colours. You glance over your shoulder and note, much dismay. The massive plant's wounds appear to have already healed. Yep, yep. Gonna have to deal with that too. With your heart pounding, you dash beneath the arch and into the passage beyond. Okay, time to heal from my pointlessly hanging around this massive plant for no reason. Without warning, a massive green tendril from which protrude countless deadly sharp red thorns slivers towards you out of the darkness. You quickly retreat, buying yourself a few precious seconds, but the monstrous vine once again surges along the corridor in your direction. Hold your ground and engage the massive vine. I guess I might also try. The massive tendril lashes out for you, its deadly thorns passing within inches of your head. You fall back and draw yourself into a defensive stance as the vine prepares to strike again. It's a giant thorn tendril. Fortunately, the invincibility of the main part wasn't spread out to all the little tendrils. So I can cut this. Although I guess I'm smashing it. Probably should have switched to a bladed weapon, but fortunately for me, the GM didn't put in a bazillion and one different types of armor and different types of attack, and you know, because that would mean after every freaking fight, you'd have to fill in all this huge database of defense against some attacks, defense against pierce attacks, defense against slashing attacks, defense against fire attacks, defense against ice attacks. And go on for page after page after page. And you have to name the type, and you have to name the type of attack for every attack that you do. And you have to also have your own defenses against every type of attack. It'd just be a big mess. And admittedly, it probably would be fun for some people, but for most people it would just be, oh, it's a foe, now I've got to spend 10 minutes redoing all my equipment so I can get a 3%, so I can fight 3% better. Or something like that, yeah. Oh, it's not right in there, is it? Other games would do that, but I think that's the sort of stuff you can do when you know you have staff to do all the fiddly bits. And also, presumably, you're copying things over from a gigantic monster manual that has been worked on before. And, you know, play-tested for decades. Admittedly, this is for the D&D games. But still, it lashes out at you. And I smash out at it. There's just little red thorns are just scattering all over the place. And some of them embedding straight back in it, and it's leaking planty goo all over the place. Savage blow for 12 damage, I think. Oh, click through. It is slain. Good, good. At least this part is mortal. 137 XP, tattered beyond recognition. The massive tendril slowly retreats along the corridor. The sound of the giant vine scraping along the stone floor. That was presumably the giant moving, slappy, grindy stuff we heard earlier. But, you know, more active and more enthusiastic because it hadn't been smashed to pieces yet. Along the stone floor, gradually fades in the distance as the tendril disappears into the gloom. After quickly checking over your equipment, you once again set off on your way, thankful to have survived the harrowing encounter. Alright, making my way west, because I'm on the western side, and this passage is also twisty. It's like it's some sort of plant. Roots of a giant plant. I've went southwest, and now I'm going southeast, and there's something coming out to the south. A cloud of green mist drifts through the gloom here. As you step towards the mist, it suddenly begins to swell, as if the green fog is attempting to envelop you. Your mastery of Arcania, which is at level 80, which makes me a grandmaster of Arcania. So it's not just mastery of Arcania, it's your grand mastery of Arcania, allows you to immediately recognise the mist possesses remarkable healing properties. You should only step into this when you're in dire need of healing. Alright, head back north. I can't go south. Oh, it's another one of those vines now. I thought I'd be able to go through it, but apparently not. Hold your ground and engage the massive vine. It's another one of those vines. Begin combat. Lashes out at you. Smashy, 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 smashy. And the quickstone stores another 20 to make up for the one I used for no particular reason. It is slain. 137 experience, tattered beyond recognition. The massive tendril slowly retreats along the corridor. The sound of the giant vine scraping along the stone floor gradually fades into distance as the tendril disappears into the gloom. After quickly checking over your equipment, you once again set off on your way, thankful to survive the harrowing encounter. Okay, I can't go south. Well, maybe I could step into the green mist, but I'm going to wait a bit. Can I go back to the middle now? Alright, making my way vaguely northeast. It's very twisty. The instant you step into the chamber at the end of the passage, a foul, nauseating sense assails your senses. It takes only a split second to remember you're not alone in the cavernous wood, because I've been before. Your watering eyes are immediately drawn to the centre of the chamber, where a dozen massive vines, each as thick as the trunk of a green tree, wreathe about wildly around a leaf-covered bulbous green orb. Two of the massive plants, 12 thorn tentacles, are tattered and torn. That's a lot of T's. With remarkable speed. Although I guess if it was a potato, you could say terrifying titanic tubers, 12 thorn tendrils. Thorns a different sound at the front. Alright. 12 thorn tendrils are tattered and torn. They're very tea-ish. With remarkable speed, the plant's tendrils streak out from its core and draw up in front of three of the arches that exit the chamber, effectively cutting off several possible routes of escape. I guess even when they're tattered, they can still do this. Only the arch on the east side of the chamber remains unblocked. The plant's tendrils shoot out towards you as the deadly mass of vegetation launches its swift fierce attack. It's a massive thorn pack. So, block one attack, then run away. You dodge the flailing tendrils of the massive plant as you dash towards the eastern exit of the chamber, the only exit not currently blocked by the weaving vines. You glance over your shoulder and note, much to dismay, The massive plaid's wounds have already healed. I didn't even make any. With your heart pounding, you dash towards the arch and into the passage beyond. Okay, I'm suspecting once I smash those 12 tendrils, something will happen. Without warning, a massive green tendril from which protrude countless deadly sharp red thorns slithers towards you out of the darkness. You quickly retreat, buying yourself a few precious seconds, but the monstrous vine once again surges along the corridor in your direction. Hold your ground and engage the massive vine. The massive green tendril lashes out at you, its deadly thorns passing within inches of your head. You fall back and draw yourself into defensive stance as the vine prepares to strike again. It's a giant thorn tendril. Let us begin combat! The thorn tendril lashes out at you. I go into a battle wage. Look. You're getting it all wrong! Animals are supposed to eat plants! You're messing things up! Okay, admittedly, yes, in nature sometimes it gets reversed. You have the pitcher plants, you have the Venus flytraps, you have the sundews, but as a general rule, animals eat plants and other animals and bones and sometimes rocks. And if they're a shark, anything. Because when all you have is a massive mouth, everything looks like a delicious snack. The thorn tendril lashes out at you. Keep going. It is slain. Another 137 XP. Tattered beyond recognition. The massive tendril slowly retreats along the corridor. The sound of the giant vine scraping on the stone floor rapidly fades into the distance as the tendril disappears into the gloom. After quickly checking over your equipment, you once again set off on your way, thankful to have survived the harrowing encounter. Okay, I'm on the eastern part. I'm going along here. Here's another massive vine. The massive green tendril lashes out to you, its deadly thorns passing within inches of your head, which for Sir Crokerton is actually quite a large gap. You fall back and draw yourself into defensive stance as the vine prepares to strike again. I'm just going to quick combat this now. It is quick combated. It is slain. Another 137 experience. And you get the same message for defeating them each time. Yeah, it retreats back to the middle bit. Back to its bulb. Another massive vine. Quick combat. 137 XP. Right, making my way along that massive vine. Quick combat. 137 XP. I think that's more than half of them done now. Ooh, this is a long passage. Massive vine. Quick combat. 137 XP. So much XP. Massive vine. Quick combat. 137 XP. Okay, you're running out, aren't you? You're going to run out of vines eventually. Unless you have some sort of magical vine regeneration powers. Well, I saw those 12, but that's probably all I have to do. Exploration status, small number of wandering foes remain. Well, I guess stretchy foes. Because they're small number of tendrils of the one foe that doesn't wander remain. But yeah, it's close enough. All right, Easter's a question mark. Alright, I'm going to use the healing properties now. You step closer to the cloud of green mist. The hovering mass of fog swiftly expands and envelops you. A powerful sense of rejuvenation washes over you. 51 stamina points restored. As the sensation fades, the mist rapidly dissipates. Of course, that 51 was a much bigger deal back when this first came out, and all the characters were a lot weaker. Look at this stage, 200 MR, 200 SP, and I don't know, 40 Neville Reserve was regarded as, yeah, that's a high-end character. Yeah, a high-end character that doesn't buy various. Wait, you didn't even have packages then when this first came out. but that you could go to Tally's. You could go to Tally's and get plenty of nice things. Let's see. Maybe the first package was out. It was the Totems of Tosa. That was the first. That was really the first package.
The comfort of your favorite seat is now your comfy car selling command center, thanks to Carvana.
It doesn't get any better than this.
Your favorite seat's the best spot in the house. Make it even better by entering your license plate or VIN and getting a real offer in minutes.
There really is no place like home.
And speaking of home, Carvana will pick up your car from yours after you finalize your offer. Visit Carvana.com or download the app and sell your car from your comfy place.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply. When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Or at least I think so. As the sensation fades, the mist rapidly dissipates. Alright, now I can get to the end of the corridor. A short iron lever protrudes from the east wall. At the end of the passage, four tacker bakes are engraved on the wall just above the lever. Pull it for no reason! You pull the iron lever down as far as it will go. When you release your grip on your lever, slowly rises until it's returned to its original position. Did that do anything? I don't know. I didn't get any XP for doing it, so quite possibly no. Alright, going back to the middle bit. Let's see how the big plant's doing. Well, not that well. And it said, but it's still eager. Sends another vine at me. A quick combat. 137 XP. Still a small number of wandering foes remain. Look at the centre one. More than half the massive plant's 12 thorn tendrils are shattered and torn. Tattered and torn. I guess they're a bit shattered and a bit tattered. And then it fights you again. Massive thorn plant. Wait. It's green difficulty now. Still, it's swift. Only the west side of the chamber remains unblocked. So most of its tendrils smashed up, it's still doing its instruction. You know what? Good job, plant. You are obedient. You are following your instructions even though you're mostly dead. I kind of respect that. But, you know, I'm still going to have to kill you because that was the whole design of the dungeon. But hopefully, presumably, once you're gone through, Wackna will resurrect you and give you a little bit of baby bio as a treat. Begin combat. The massive tendril lashes out at you. Okay. It's green difficulty. It has a large but exhaustible pool of health. I think I might be able to get it down this time. Your enemy deals you a savage blow. You tremble with uncontrollable rage as you assail your foe. Yeah! Stop blocking my passage! I gave him more rage! Yeah! Stop inverting the fuel chain! Keep going. It's very nearly done now. 10%. 7%, 4%, 1%. I think this will be the last one. It is slain. 76 experience. Not that much combat experience for beating it, all things considered. Maybe it's because I've weakened it a lot. But more importantly than that is 2,048 experience to general, and 128 experience to all skills and powers. The bulbous green orb at the centre of the mass of writhing tendrils collapses, releasing a cloud of thick white dust into the air. Oh no! It's asbestos! In 30 years' time, Sir Crokington is going to get mesothelioma! It might be, but honestly, that doesn't sound like Wagner style. But it could be an accident. You immediately cover your eyes and nose and retreat out of the chamber as the cloud rapidly fills the room. After several minutes, when the dust has settled, you cautiously step back into your chamber. Much to your surprise, there is no longer any sign of the giant plant and its 12 deadly vines. Yep, it's gone back to Wagner, receive a pet for a job well done, and lots of baby bio, whatever other fertilizer. Wagner doesn't have any particular brand loyalties. No longer any sign of the giant plant and its 12 twisted vines. Lying in the middle of the womb, in the precise pot once occupied by the plant's bulky base. Although when the plant's that big, you don't really have to be that precise. There's a small key carved out of solid jade. You promptly take possession of the curious find. I have a jade key. This small key is carved out of jade. Okay, nothing particularly extra gained from the item description there. You know that it's small, I guess. I guess that's an added thing you gain from the description rather than the title. And then it's carved. Although, if something was made out of jade, you'd probably assume it was carved. Because, you know, jade's a kind of stone, so that's pretty much the only way to, you know, shape it. You can't say forge it because it's not a metal. It's not gonna grow naturally into that shape, at least not in the land of Swift or our world. Presumably there's probably somewhere in the Nevelous where jade can just grow into any shape you want it to. Just grows out of the ground. But Not here. Now, if you want jade in a shape other than rocky blob, you gotta get out your chisel. And then you end up with all that lovely bits of lovely jade just all over the place. Oh well. All right, what can I do now? Okay. Now without that plant in the way. Exploration status, no wandering foes remain. As you'd expect, when you defeat the plant, all its tendrils disappear. Anyway, now I can go north. And it twists to the west. And it twists around a bit more to the south. And twists to the west again. There's a green mist. I kind of have to step into it to get past. Step into the green mist. As you step closer to the cloud of green mist, the hovering mass of fog swiftly expands and envelops you. A powerful sense of rejuvenation washes over you. 60 stamina points with sword. As the sensation fades, the mist rapidly dissipates. Okay, what's at the end of this corridor then? Short iron lever protrudes from the east wall at the end of the passage. 4 tacker backs are engraved on the wall just above the lever. Pull the lever. You pull the iron lever down as far as it will go. When you release your grip on the lever, rises slowly to its return to its original position. Okay, let's try out the western side next. And then we'll just have to walk through the healing mist, even though we don't need it, because we want to see what's beyond it. And there's no way to sneak past it because it fills the entire corridor. And there's no way to say, actually, that mist, I don't need healing right now. I don't need healing. So could you just let me get through and not try to heal me, okay? Okay, I'll come back later when I do need healing. But you can't do that because it's missed. It's not sentient or anything. It just spreads its healy juices to anyone who happens to walk through it. Alright, step into the green mist, and that restores me pointlessly. A cessation phase, the mist rapidly dissipates. Alright, now I can go west. And here we go. A short iron lever protrudes from the north wall at the end of the passage. Four tackerbacks are engraved on the wall, just above the lever. Pull the lever! As you pull the iron lever down as far as it will go. When you release your grip on the lever, it slowly rises until it's returned to its original position. We have a suddenly. The unmistakable sound of a single soft footfall from your right snaps your head in that direction. There, stepping out of the deep gloom that hugs the end of the passage, is a diminutive hooded figure. You instinctively draw yourself into defensive stance as you crawl out to the shadowy figure, hoping to discover his intentions. The figure immediately bows and holds up his hands, as if to signify that no harm is meant by the sudden intrusion. You're right to be wary. Issues the soft, clear voice of a woman from beneath the overhanging hood. Now, you're just... my voice is a man voice, because I happen to be a man, so... You're just going to have to add your own femininity. Because if I tried to do a woman's voice, it probably just sound insulting. So I'm not going to try. But you need not fear. I needn't either. We're not really in the same place. Here, let me show you. The hooded stone stoops down to pick up a stone on the floor. You watch as a hand, which appears wheel, passes directly through the small rock. She stands up and uncurls the fingers on her white hand, revealing the very stone that still sits on the floor at her feet. Alright, then she's not here. Then where is she? I mean, she's in a place that's the same, because she's also got that rock. It's a place that's the same, but different. Odd. I can't affect anything in your version of the labyrinth, she says, pocketing the stone. Likewise, you can't affect anything in mine. Which is to be preferred, of course. After all, I've grown to like this place. As much as one might ever be expected to bear fondness for a gloomy old spot like this. Yes, gloomy. That's certainly the right word for it. You ask the woman to elaborate on what she just told you. Anyone entering this place, and there aren't a lot of us, mind, gets their very own maze. Wait, if everyone got their own maze, then how did I get any messages from people who went through the same maze? Maybe it's their own maze, but the same maze can be reused. Could be that. Or, as I have a sneaking suspicion, those messages weren't actually left by people who've been in the maze. They were a part of the design of the maze, and no one left them. They were just always there from the very start. Although maybe he added some later, because it would be weird to have a 400-year-old message in a dungeon that's just been built. Of course, if Wackler's mad, that sort of thing can totally happen, she says. Nothing you do in yours or I do in mine has any effect on anyone else exploring here. That's all part of the magic of this place. This wonderful, forsaken, deadly place. Well, we can both be proud of ourselves. At least we're still alive. It's more than can be said for most who wander in here. You ask the woman her name, and how is she able to appear before you in your version of the maze? You'll find the answer to your second question on level 51, she says. Wait, level 51? So there's at least 51 levels. Whew, blimey, we're barely halfway down. And that's 51 levels we know about. Presumably there's more after that. As for my name, Narsilar. Who knows what I'm accustomed to being called. And what I prefer. Vastly prefer. As you... Can you imagine having a name that both starts and ends in with Nar? It's really just a bit too much. What's a Quokington, White? Well met. How did I know your name? Well, I know you want to ask, but you'll find out on level 51 too. Oh, I'm so excited about getting to level 51. Sort of a pity it's not in the game yet, but presumably it will be eventually. Of course, before you get that far, you've got to deal with those two nasties you've had to leave behind. You will, but not just yet. You've almost got everything you need. Nasties are presumably those are the giant fire and ice elementals that all we could do was run away from. Now, Narsilar tells you that she cannot remain for very long, and that she will try to find you again as you continue to make your way into the lower reaches of the labyrinth. I'll give you some tips if I could remember anything useful, she says, laughing. It's all become a blur. Do know one thing, however. I've had enough levers, dials, and Oturok to last the rest of my life. So she has Oturok in her version as well. Okay, at least some Oturok presumably are part of the original plan. I mean, if they're consistent, that'll perhaps the sentient shadow path is messing up all the versions of the maze, which of course makes sense. I mean, it's in all the versions of the maze. It's at the bottom of all the versions of the maze, so presumably it can go to all the versions of the maze, but it can't get out again. Fortunately, for everyone. At least you're taking care of that plant. Regretfully, I clearly recall that thing. You ask Narsilar. She's from your time and place. She pauses and then slowly nods. Yes, at least I think I am, she says. But can I meet you in the world outside this wretched maze? I don't think such a thing is possible. Our worlds are the same, but parallel. That makes sense. It's the only way I can describe it. I'm still doing my best to figure it out. I may well have a good portion of it wrong. You may be interested to know I've almost made it to level 56. But I'm afraid I've begun to think I'm no nearer the bottom of this pit than when I was at 46. We shall see. Okay. At least 56 floors. Well, I mean, she assumes there's a 56th floor. For all she knows, 55 is the very, very last floor. And then she'll just get to the bottom, find Ragnar, and save the world. Possibly all worlds. Wait. If someone gets to the bottom of any version of Ragnar's Mad, is the Shadow Path closed for everyone? Possibly. Or maybe we have to do something really, really weird. You know, deal with it across all the realities.
Yeah, I mean, that's the sort of thing that...
Well, we need a time crab to help with that. In the blink of an eye, Narsilar is gone, dismayed by her sudden appearance. You step towards the spot she occupied only a moment ago, search for any sign of her in the nearby gloom. She must know there's a 56th floor because she's seen the inverted school pyramid that goes down, and that would mean there's another floor. But how many beyond there? No idea. It could be the last one, but I don't think so. Just seems a bit weird to end a dungeon on 56 floors. Just weird. Although I don't know Wackner's mind, or of course the mind of the GM. So, maybe you could just make a 56 floor dungeon. But it just feels like a round number. Just seems like a thing. Just feels better. But who knows? Maybe the GM knows. Although I suspect even he's like, I mean, this is the plan, but it might change. Maybe when I'm making a mechanic on floor 47, I think, ooh, actually, I could do more with this mechanic. I could expand on this mechanic, and it could hybridize with this mechanic. Yes, I'm going to have to play around with that for a few more floors. Or something like that. Or maybe, I've tied so many things into this dungeon. I'm going to have a few more floors so we don't just have a three hour long lore dump at the end. It would be fun, but I think we'd probably like to have a little bit of dungeoneering between the two, just to mix things up a bit. In the blink of an eye, Narsalar is gone, dismayed by her sudden disappearance. You step towards the pot she occupied, search for any sign of her in the nearby gloom. After several long minutes, when it becomes apparent she's not going to return, prepare to set off again on your way. As you resume your exploration, you can't seem to shake the image of the small, hooded woman from your thoughts. Alright, have I pulled? No, I've already pulled this lever. All three levers are pulled. The plant is smashed. Nearly everywhere has been explored. Let's go to the south exit again. A lot easier when there isn't a big plant in the way. Okay, what's in that little alcove? I presume the way to that is now open. Yeah, inverted pyramid formation. Place your hand in the impression. You place your hand into the hand-shaped impression just below the engraved skulls. Your hand begins to tremble inside the impression. For a fleeting moment, the entire slab shudders. You quickly withdraw your hand and step back from the slab. 384 experience to general. A bright flash of green light erupts from the centre of the stone slab, momentarily obscuring the gruesome engraving that adorns its rugged surface. You immediately realise the way down to the next level of Wackner's perilous labyrinth has just been unlocked. Step on the engraved slab, we'll have a little peek at floor 35. Alright, this one also seems to be one very long, twisty passage. And I mean very long. I mean, I see three twists, and both they're all just going off to who knows how long. So anyway, but that, wherever those twists lead, that will be found out in the next episode. For now, it's time to get out of Wackner's Mad, return to Ashlyre, and have a bath. Yes. But anyway, until then, farewell, fellow adventurers.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Cenovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at cenovus.com.